2 Chronicles chapter 14. Looking at the not so famous, and I must admit, for some people, Asa is very famous, while for others, he's not very famous. Asa's one of those guys that we should know a lot about, but often we don't know much about him at all. We looked last week at Abijah and how he talked the talk and walked the walk, and he made a wonderful speech to Jeroboam and the Israelites who he was about to go into battle for, trying to convince them not to go into battle, and he seemed like someone who loved and honored the Lord. Yet we discover that was more talk than actual walk, because we're told that he walked in the sins of his father and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God. And so he wasn't quite what he made himself out to be. And he reigned for 3 years. But we read in 2 Chronicles chapter 14 verse 1 this: "So Abijah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. And Asa his son reigned in his stead. In his days the land was quiet 10 years. So next after Abijah was Asa. And he actually reigned for 41 years over Judah. And we have this wonderful verse in verse 2 where it says, "And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God." And so we see here he did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord. And they are the eyes that count. It doesn't matter if he did that which was good and right in the eyes of his father, or in the eyes of his nation, or even in his own eyes. The only eyes that really count are the eyes of the Lord. And he had this blessing that in the eyes of the Lord he did that which was good and right. And then in verses 2 and 3 we're told why God thought this. Verse 3 it says, "For he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places and break down the images and cut down the groves." And so he got rid of the idol worship that was in his land. Now that's the negative. He got rid of some things, but he also did some positive things as well. Verse 4, "And commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law and the commandment." So, there was a real turnaround. Rehoboam sinned in the eyes of the Lord. His son, Abijah, continued in the sins of Rehoboam. But Asa changed direction. He removed the false gods and he started to seek the Lord. Now, I can't help but wonder why he changed. Why didn't he just follow in his father and his grandfather's footsteps? Why was he different? Well, we're not told why he's different. I can only gather that he saw, or at least heard of King David, saw how Rehoboam, his grandfather, lived and what happened, saw his father and thought, when I actually get my chance, I'm going to do things differently. When I actually become king, I'm going to honor and serve the Lord like David, and I'm not going to go this way. Maybe he saw what happens when you don't seek the Lord, and he thought, no, I'm going to do things differently. I suspect that might have been the case, because I know that's how most children think. Most children, when they grow up, they see parents, maybe they're adults, they see other adults, and they generally think, well, I'm going to do things differently to them. Particularly when they see bad things. They will think, well, I'm married, I'm going to act this way. When I'm an adult, I'm going to act this way. I'm going to do things differently. Not just differently, generally, children think better. I'm going to do things better than what they did. Maybe that's what Asa thought. You know, I know, particularly being a youth group leader for hundreds of years now, all right, other than a couple of years break with Pastor O'Brien around, I've had the blessing of seeing young people who not just were Christians, but they came from unsaved homes. And I would hear their discouragement of how their parents would take them to places they didn't want to go as a Christian. How they were surrounded by certain things they didn't want to be surrounded by as a Christian. And that that got them down. And I would encourage them and say, well, God's not going to hold you accountable for the places you're taken and the things that surround you when it's out of your control. What you need to do is make sure that you're doing the things that you have control over in a way that honors the Lord. No one's stopping you from having a quiet time. Have your quiet times. The way you act at school, that's a way that you can honor the Lord. And then when you become an adult, you can do things differently and you can do things better. And I've had many teenagers tell me they're going to do things very different when they grow up. And I have the blessing, I can think of names right now, of young people who grew up into adults and now they have a Christian family and they do things differently and they do things better. And they seek to honor the Lord and they don't put their children in circumstances that they were put in and they don't surround them or take them places where they had to go. And it's a blessing when they decide when it's their chance, they're going to do things better. Maybe that was Asa's idea here. But what we do know is that when he got his opportunity to reign, he reigned wisely. In verses 6 and 7 of chapter 17, we read this. And he built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest, and he had no war in those years, because the Lord had given him rest. Therefore he said unto Judah, let us build these cities and make about them walls and towers and gates and bars, while the land is yet before us. Because we have sought the Lord our God, we have sought him, and he hath given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. So for the first 10 to 15 years of his reign as king, God had given him rest. And in those times of rest, he used it in a way to prepare him for the times when it wasn't as easy. See, even for us, there are times when we have times of rest. That is, times when we don't have a major crisis in our life, we don't have major health problems, we don't have personal attacks, we're not going through trials. We would call them a nice time of life where we're not having very many troubles. And we should use those times of rest to prepare us for the times when it's not going to be so easy. And that's exactly what Asa did. We know that in this time of rest, he got rid of the idols and the sinful practices, but also he built up the walls of the cities so that when people did try to attack, they were prepared for the enemy. And so he purged out sin and he built up cities in those times of rest. That's a really good example for us. You know, if you're going through a time of rest at the moment, can I encourage you not to use that as a time to get slack? Use it as a time to build up godly character in your life so that you are ready for those times when you are under attack. You know, when I was a young man, I made it a point to build up godly habits. Now, one of them was to have a godly habit of having a quiet time. And you know, that has put me in good stead, because when times have been tough, I know that Satan has to get rid of that habit before he can break down me to the point where I'm not feeding on God's word. And that's been a good habit to establish and to build up. I know that I've built up a habit of church attendance. You know, it is weird for me not to come on a prayer meeting night on a Wednesday night. That's a habit that I've formed. Sunday night is a habit I've formed. Sunday morning is a habit I've formed. So that Satan has to break down a lot of habits before he can get to me and starve me from God's word. I did that when I was young, and I'm still doing it. When I was young, there were particular sins that I wanted to abolish out of my life so that I wasn't struggling with them all my life. And I praise God, through his grace, I was able to get rid of them. So that as an adult and as a father, I'm not still trying to grapple with those things. And these are walls to help you when it's not so nice. and easy. And can I encourage you, if you're young and not married, if you are married and you don't have children, well then, and you're enjoying good health, can I encourage you, although you may think this may not be an easy time for you, these are the easy times. These are the days of rest, believe it or not. These are the time to build up godly habits in your life. You know, if you're a young lady and you can't have a regular quiet time now, I'll guarantee when you're a wife and a mother, you will never have them if you haven't established that godly principle in your life. If you're a young man and you can't make it to a Wednesday night Bible study and Sunday night, I'll guarantee when you're busy at work and you've got a family to provide for and children, you will never make it to those places. You need to establish those godly habits now. And if life is good and the Lord has blessed you with rest, don't take it for granted. Use it as a time to build yourself up. And that's what Asa did as a king. Because, sure enough, battles are always going to come. And it did with Asa in a very big way. We read in verse 9. It says, "And there came out against them Zerah the Ethiopian with a host of 1,300 chariots and came unto Maresha." And so the Ethiopians came up and they had an army of 1,000,000 men and 300 chariots. That's a big army even in today's scheme of things, to have 1,000,000 soldiers. And 300 chariots would be like 300 tanks in today's weaponry. And Asa, we won't look there, he had 500 soldiers. All right, and so there was a very big test coming up for this king. Does he surrender? Does he run for help to Egypt or somewhere else? Or does he run to the Lord for that strength? Well, we read in verse 10, "And Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in array." And then in verse 11 it says, "And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God, let not man prevail against thee. So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled." And if we read on, you read that they took cities, and they took great spoils from this as well. And so what we see here with Asa, he first enjoyed great rest. He used that as a purging time and a building up time. And then there was a time of battle, and he had a great victory in the Lord. Praise God for Asa. He's doing everything right. Now, what can usually happen when someone enjoys a great victory is they start to get proud in thinking they can rely on themselves rather than the Lord. We see that with many people in the Word of God, and we know that can often be the case with us as well. We think everything's okay, so we slacken off, we take things easy, and we think everything is getting easier now. I don't need the Lord quite as much. And I suspect the Lord knew this because he sent a prophet to warn Asa of this very thing. Chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. It says, "And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah the son of Oded. And he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while ye be with him. And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you." And so the prophet goes and he says those very words. I just want you to remind you of that. And he says, "Be ye strong," verse 7, "therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded." So he gets this reminder not to get slack. And He could have taken this a number of ways. He could have shrugged it off and said, look, give me a break. I've just had a great victory. Don't you think I'm smart enough to know that? He could have just shrugged it off. He could have taken offense. How dare you think that I'm going to do the wrong thing? Haven't I lived all these years doing what's right? Surely you're not going to think I'm going to go bad now. He could have taken offense. Or he could have taken on board the warning and thanked him for that. And we see how he responded in verse 8. And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. And verse 10 it says, so they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem in the third month of the 15th year of the reign of Asa, and they offered unto the Lord at the same time of the spoil which they had brought, 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. Isn't that a blessing? He's had wonderful victory. Generally, people get slack. He gets a reminder to stay faithful, and that is like a shot in the arm to go even further. He says, where are some more places of false worship that I can destroy? And then he gathers everyone to Jerusalem and he says, let's make a covenant with God that we're going to worship him from this time on. And so this was like a shot in the arm. It's like he went off to camp, he got all inspired and came back ready to serve the Lord again. He was on fire, this man. And you know, I love seeing this because often it's the opposite. You know, as a part of my responsibility as a pastor is to warn people just like this prophet. Warn them of possible dangers. But I do find that most people don't respond like this. They respond an opposite way. You know, if I go and warn them, be careful in this relationship, I'm a bit concerned. Or if I go and say, look, I've seen changes with you and I know something's not right, you know, can I help you? Or if I say, have you sought the Lord in this? You sure you're not heading in the wrong direction? Generally, when I say or do something like this, most people take offense to it. Either it's, yeah, yeah, whatever, or do you really think I'm that dumb? Or they just actually get really angry with me. It's a blessing when I hear someone say, thank you for that, I really needed that reminder. But a good shepherd will warn. You know, if you're on a bushwalk and you see a brown snake, you don't go, whoo, brown snake, whew, I'm glad I missed it, but probably the ones that are following me, they might not be so lucky. No, out of kindness, you're going to say, watch out for the snake. Go right around. You're going to warn, aren't you, if you care for people. A good shepherd warns. And can I promise you, if I do come and warn you of something, it's only out of care. Not because I have got something on you and I can't wait to with you. That's not that enjoyable. It's only out of care. And he responded how the Lord wants us to respond. And he drew nearer to him. And the Lord blessed him for that. In verse 15, it says, and all Judah rejoiced at the oath. And they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with their whole desire. And he was found of them. And the Lord gave them rest round about. And it says in verse 9, and there was no more war unto the 35th year of the reign of Asa. And so he enjoyed another 10 years of rest and seeing God bless them abundantly. He was lapping up all the blessings of living a righteous life. And that is one thing we must realize when we determine to do things God's way, Even though it doesn't make sense sometimes, there are blessings. God says, they that honour me, I will honour. And there are lots of blessings when we choose to do things His way rather than the way the flesh may want us to. But we do know that in the 36th year as king, that things started to unravel for Asa, which I find disturbing. He would have been around about within, he would have been in his 50s or 60s by this time. And sadly, this is when I see too many people, godly people, start to make really big mistakes. You know, it's funny, we often think it's the teenagers who make unwise decisions. But my experience is it's teenagers who are the softest to the Word of God. That's when people are the most zealous to do the things of God. That's a time when they're pricked in their heart and they're happy to walk an aisle and get things right with the Lord and start serving the Lord. It's a blessing to be able to preach at a youth camp because you see that softness in people's hearts. Often it's as you get older, you see victories, you start to get slacker and harder to the point where when you get into those older years, sometimes you make some really dumb decisions. You know, King Saul, when he was young, was humble and soft to the things of God. It was only when he got older that he got proud and foolish. King David was zealous and a mighty warrior. It's only as he got older he made foolish mistakes. Solomon was wise and sought the Lord. It was only when he got older he forsook the Lord for other things. And nothing has changed. Often it's when a person gets older and they have enjoyed victory and they are enjoying the spoils of living that godly life that they often forget or they get slack and they make foolish decisions. You know, the difference between a good cricketer and a great cricketer is a good cricketer will get to 100. He will have that ability to control his emotions and concentrate, and he will reach that goal of a century. But how often do you see a batsman, when he gets past the century, all that discipline is gone, he just starts swooping and hitting, and that's when they get out. Generally, so often they get out in those next 10 runs after a century, because they have got enough runs. Now, the difference between a good cricketer and a great cricketer is a great one has never got enough runs. They never give their wicket up. They want to keep going. And that's the difference between a good Christian and a great Christian. A good one will see many victories and achieve lots. But a great one is never content with where they are in the Lord. They will always be wanting to discipline themselves and grow stronger in the Lord and see God do more in their life. They won't be content with what they have seen. They will want more. Yet for many good Christians, they make a big mistake as they get older. Asa was the same. Because we're told in chapter 16, that in the 36th year of his reign, Baasha, the king of Israel, came up against Judah. They were flexing their muscles against that southern kingdom. And as he came up against Asa, what should he have done? We all know the answer. Go to the Lord for help. Just like he did when the Ethiopians came. True? Yet we see in chapter 16, verse 2, and Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord and of the king's house and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus, saying, and he goes on to say, I have made a league with you. Will you please come and help me in this situation? And he did. He came down, he fought against Israel, Israel fled, and then Judah had a wonderful victory and they gained lots of spoils. And so, in the eyes of man, this was a wonderful victory. But you know, not all victories are true victories. Because Israel may have been gone, but God was now upset. Have you ever dealt with something and achieved the goal, but you did it the wrong way? Yes, you flew off the handle and screamed and yelled, and you achieved what you wanted. People reacted. Or you told a lie to get something, and yes, you got it. You spoke evil of someone, and yes, you got people on side as you hoped. You did something in an ungodly way to achieve something, and yes, you may have achieved it, yet you're left with a conviction in your heart, and you've left with God being very unhappy with you. That's not really a victory. It's not a victory at all. And this is what Asa did. And it says in chapter 16, verses 7 and 9, this. And at that time, Hanani, the seer, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria, and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore in the host of the king of Syria, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubans a huge host, with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. Wow, that's different. Asa's never been rebuked before. A prophet has come and praised him. A prophet has come and instructed him. A prophet has come and warned him. But never has a prophet come and rebuked him. But now he's been rebuked. And he's been told that he's done something wrong. And we all know we don't like being rebuked. And this is where you find out what's really within the soul of a man, at least at that time. This is when you know if someone is truly spirit-led or if they're not spirit-led. Because when you get rebuked, that's when you will react by whatever's controlling you. And if the flesh is controlling you, you're going to react in the flesh. But if the Spirit of God isn't controlling you, you will react in a humble manner. Now, Proverbs 9:8 says, reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. When someone rebukes you, do you hate that person? It means you're a scorner. Rebuke a wise man and he will love thee. Some, when rebuked, hate the person that rebukes them, while others love them. And how did he respond to the rebuke? Chapter 16, verse 10. And Asa was wroth with the seer, and put him in the prison house. For he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people the same time. That's not a spiritual response. How dare you, prophet, tell me that I've been doing the wrong thing? And he shoves him in the prison. And it says in verse 12, and Asa in the 39th year of his reign was diseased in his feet, until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. He was avoiding the Lord from now on. He was unkind to his people, and he hated the prophet of God. This good king stumbled at the end. When he did something wrong and was rebuked for it, instead of humbling himself, he got all fired up and it led him on a path that was not pleasant. And brethren, there are lots of good Christians who do make mistakes. Yet when they are rebuked, instead of humbling themselves and seeing where they are at fault, confessing their sin to God and to other people, and getting back on track how they should, they get defensive and proud, and they rebel against everyone, including the Lord. There's too many good Christians where that happens to. And it's a sad thing. You know, the year is coming to the end. Let's make sure we end it well. You know, for some of you, you're getting older. Can you make sure you finish well? Don't just be a good Christian. Be a great Christian. Never be content with where you are in the Lord. Seek to purge out the sin. Seek to serve Him. And if you even have to be rebuked, receive it in a humble manner. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I know that, Lord, the people that sit in this congregation love You and want to serve You. Lord, I pray that we won't just be content with being good Christians, but we will be Christians that are great in Your eyes. Not the eyes of others, but Your eyes, dear Lord. And we will remain faithful to the very end. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.